Love Osho Podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Swami Satya Anuragi. Anuragi took sannyas in 1982 and is a board member of one of the top 10 Indian groups. Anuragi is currently working on a project to collect and preserve Osho's body of work in the form of books, letters, manuscripts and other objects. Anuragi, welcome to the show. How are you?
It's a pleasure being on your show, and I have been listening to your shows and really enjoying them. You're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you very much. Great to hear that. So, to start, tell us a little bit about how you came across Osho.
Okay, so I was studying, I think, in my first year of college when I came to know about I came across one of the audio cassettes of Osho. When I listened to it, I was actually mesmerized and kept listening to the same talk throughout the night, again and again. So this would have been sometimes in the year 1979. And then 82 January, I went to Pune and took sannyas. I was studying then in my post-graduation first year in the university.
Okay, so 1982 was the time when Osho was already in the USA. So what was happening in Pune without Osho?
Okay, there was a small group of people still living. Ashram was quite alive then. And during that time, it was coordinated by Ma Mridula. And all activities were going on as usual. I reached there in the mid of 13th of January and then took sannyas the same day when I reached. After that, I, of course, tried to get a visa to the USA to go to Rajneeshpuram. But being young and being a Osho sannyasin, the visa was not granted. So I stayed back here, and then 84, I lived one complete year in the ashram in Pune.
Do you remember the first time you saw Osho in person?
Yes, that is something I would love to share with you. After I came back from Pune in 84, by then in 1985 early, Lakshmi Ma had returned back from USA and she called me and said, if you are willing to join me, we would like to go to the mountains and start searching for a place for Osho. So almost for about 10 months, we both were on the road looking for various type of places in Himachal. And sometimes my friend Atul from Osho World would also join us. And we kept looking for a lot of places in Himachal for Osho to come, in case he comes, you know, including Chahal Palace and various other palaces. We were hunting for, you know, a probable chance that if he might come. One day I was out of Delhi and I get a call from Lakshmi. She said, in 2 hours, pack up your clothes and you are leaving for Manali. She said, you first pack and then we will talk. After I packed, came back, came down, loaded the car with some kitchen items, cooking pots, etc. And in the night, me along with Kulbhushan's family, we left for Manali. And then just before leaving, Lakshmi tells Anuragi, Osho is coming to India. Once you reach there, give us a call. Almost the whole of the resort was booked. And then the night he arrived in Delhi, next morning after a press conference, Osho left for Manali in a chartered aircraft. And as the flight landed, we drove the car to receive him. Everybody was coming out. I was standing outside waiting for him to come, but I could not see him. And everybody came down. Then I see on the last seat window, Osho is there with folded hands greeting, and I was not seeing there. So he came down, and then the car was driven by Vinod and Lakshmi, Hasya. There was this Indu Jain and Vivek. They all, six of them in the car, and I escorted them through the way in another car to Span Resorts. So this was my first meeting with Osho at the airport of Kullu.
Okay, so you saw Osho at the airport, and then I believe that you spent some time in Manali with Osho during his stay in that resort you mentioned. So it's a very special time. I think it's after the world tour. What can you tell us about your month, you know, being with Osho in Manali?
Yes, Osho's body had become very frail. It was very painful to see him in that frail condition. But as he arrived, in a little while, I escorted him to the room. And in a while, everybody was thinking he might go in for a rest. So everybody, including Vivek, everybody left to get some food to the dining hall, to the restaurant there. And within no minutes, Osho came out from his room, and then he went out alone near the river. He was taking walk. He didn't rest a minute in his room. He took a complete round of the place, stood beside the river for a long time. And then occasionally he was talking to people, all those who were passing by around him, a few of sannyasins, like the Kulbhushan family was with me, their children, he would call them and talk to them. Then in a while, he also went to the restaurant area. And 2 days, Osho ate food out of the restaurant. He ate all that food which he wanted and enjoyed very much the food which was being cooked at the restaurant. So till his kitchen was set up in another cottage, he ordered food as per his choice. Then there were instructions also given that Osho would like to rest and sannyasins should avoid coming to the place to meet him. But within a few days, there were hundreds of people gathering every day, and then they were allowed to come and stand out. Osho would pass by during the specific times and meet them, greet them all on the way during his walks in the evening and morning, in the mornings and evenings. And of course, he was meeting press, international press, sometimes talking both the times. I think most of the times he was talking in the morning as well as in the evening. And he really enjoyed the walks in Manali near the river. He would go out, sit outside the on the bench near the river for quite some time.
Did you have any one-to-one meeting with Osho at that time, or at any other time? Did you have any personal guidance from Osho?
No, I did not have that.
Moving on to later, in Pune too, I understand that you handled a couple of legal cases of defamation.
Yes. That's actually quite an interesting and funny story. So I reach Pune once, and on the gate, I meet Neelam, and she says, "Good to have you. Where are you staying?" I said, "I still didn't decide anything." So she says, "No, don't stay outside. We have a room for you in Krishna House. Go and stay there." So I was very happy. So I went there, unpacked, and within few hours, I come across Anando. At that time, she and Niren, they were handling all the legal cases. But then Anando called me and she said, "There is a problem. Some police came, you know, with Osho's name, non-bailable warrants. I would like you to go to Kanpur, which is in Uttar Pradesh province of India, And a Christian group has made the defamation case against Osho, and it got unattended, and we need to sort that out. So I am telling Anando, listen, I am not a lawyer. I have never done any legal case. I have not been to the court, thankfully. I'm not the right person for this kind of a case. So she tells me, don't worry. Here is a file. Here is money. Here are Osho's blank signed affidavits. Please take them and you rush. Otherwise, we have no time. I had no choice but to go and then find my own ways. And it was so fortunate, you know, once I reached the court, somebody guided me that, you know, Kanpur is not the place. You go to a higher court, which is in Allahabad and about 3 hours journey from Kanpur. When I reached there and found out the best lawyer, I reached his place. His wife happened to be a student of Osho in Jabalpur. And once this lawyer came to know about that, he tells me, listen, you don't have to worry. This is my own case. I will handle it now the way it, leave it to me. And next day we applied and the case was, you know, quashed. There was, the judge even did not hear anything of the second party and he says, this is no case. So this is how it happened. I was merely a traveler then, means I didn't have much to do except for moving the papers from Pune to these courts. And of course, a similar case also happened in Shimla, which is in Himachal. The same, some Hindu Orthodox wing had made a case of defamation. And the same thing happened there also.
Thank you so much, Anuragi. That's something I never heard of, so totally new to me and very interesting. I'd like now to move on and talk about something that we mentioned in the introduction, you know, the project you're working on, which I think is absolutely important. And you're working on this project which involves collecting Osho's body of work, for example, you know, first edition of the books, the handwritten letters, manuscripts, photos and you know, other objects. So first of all, what prompted you to start this project?
Okay, this is a project, you know, which comes very close to my heart. I wanted to archive Osho's first edition books because, you know, each book is a poetry, is a statement in itself. It is so loving, it is so well designed, it speaks volume on itself. And then I saw a lot of people having things from Osho, you know. And then we realize, well, what happens to these things? Will they be just in the houses of few individuals and then get waste, not recognized? Because sooner or later, those people are leaving their bodies. And there is hardly any caretaker. So once this idea came, then we said something needs to be done about it. So I came in touch with Nitin, Pierre Ward, who was archiving, who's documenting all Osho's biography. He is a genius in doing all these, documenting the biography. And then we started to realize what we need to do. Then as we dug deep, we came across Osho's manuscripts, which he was writing by his own hands since 1940s. We have something from his handwritten notes from 1942 onwards. He was writing poetry, he was writing philosophy, he was drawing, he was sketching. And then later in the 50s, when Osho moved to Jabalpur, we came across newspapers and magazines in 1951, 52, 53, where Osho was writing articles then. And the flair was very fiery. So, you know, it became more and more important to document all those things. As you know, how Osho evolved around those periods, how he approached masses and individuals to, you know, share his thoughts, his feelings, to awaken them. You know, it's a complete journey in itself. And later, how much travel he made, you know, to so many places, villages, in arduous conditions, in buses, in trains. And it is important that we, you know, keep the history alive and keep everything recorded so that generations to come know how this master has been so compassionate to work on people. So after that, you know, as we progressed, then there were magazines from Osho, which started from Jabalpur onwards in 1966. There was a magazine called Jyoti Shikha, which we started publishing out of Jabalpur to carry on his vision and widespread his message. So we collected all of them. Then another set of magazine was published. The Jyoti Shikha was published from Bombay. And there was another magazine which started from Jabalpur, which was called Yukrant in 1969. That was printed for about 5 years, all to carry out Osho's work and his vision in a larger scale. So there are a lot of rare interviews which were published in those magazines, you know, where film stars, politicians, artists, they would come and talk to Osho. Those all things are documented in those magazines, and fortunately we have completed complete archiving of that. So the second point was, when you see all these things, the question comes, what do you do with them? We know very well that Osho did not want to, you know, was not in favor of creating a museum, and neither we want to create a museum or a holy shrine or anything, but we want to just preserve his work in the most undiluted and original form. So this is the endeavor we are doing, to reach out to people, that those who have things, who would like them to be contributed for the generations to come and keep it securely, we are here to take care with them.
That's absolutely amazing, and I totally support what you're doing. It's incredible. And I've always thought of something like that, and I'm so happy to hear that someone is doing it. In terms of how do you go about collecting this material, you know, must be not an easy task. So how do you do that?
I have been traveling a lot into the places where Osho has been traveling, especially into Gujarat, into Madhya Pradesh, into Bombay and other parts of Maharashtra, trying to reach out to people, telling them what we are doing. For about 4 years, I have been doing this non-stop, traveling about 15 days a month just for this purpose. People have been very helpful and kind, you know, to spread this word also. So now, as things go on, as people come to know, we get a lot of support. But it has been a long journey. It is still a long journey. There have been lovely presents which we have received of late from Nitin. He gave us the original Osho's typewriter from Jabalpur days, where Osho used to type. He also gifted us with the records which Osho used to listen in Jabalpur. And in fact, I would like also to mention that I get excellent support from Niklank ji, who's Osho's brother. He guides me so well into this project, and anytime I need his help, he's always available to me.
What have you found that you didn't expect, or you wouldn't imagine? And is there anything that you're looking for which you haven't found it yet?
See, I am not looking for anything specific, but and everything which comes on the way, the idea is to secure them and preserve them. So I got a 4-point agenda from Nitin, which was very well drafted, which he says the objective is to secure, preserve, think about how it will be accessed and how the aesthetics behind the place should be. Now, your first question, what was exciting, which I found, yes, something, some few things really moved us, was his early days paintings and drawings, which was very rare piece of art, which Osho has made in his early days. We found it from somewhere, and those are really masterpieces, amazing things. Besides that, we have a good collection of letters, Osho's signed books, his signed photographs, his robes, his footwear, and a host of other things which people just come and share with us.
Amazing. Wonderful. That's sounds so exciting, you know, just thinking of all the objects and letters and the paintings, you know, that must be like amazing piece of work of art.
Yes. And going forward, Swaram, we would now like to create a place where we can house all these objects in the most secure way. And I would really love friends and also lovers to come forward and support this project.
Absolutely. I mean, I hope people listening to this interview and they perhaps didn't know about what you're doing, and I will really encourage them to get in touch with you if they have any ideas or ways to support you, because it's absolutely incredible what you are doing. In fact, you just mentioned now that the next step would be to make all of this available. So what do you have in mind? Because you said before that Osho never wanted to have a museum or something like that. So
right.
How do you go about it?
That's very right. You see, we don't want the museum flair, neither we want it to become like a holy shrine or something, you know, a place of worship. But we need to properly secure this place, these objects. Of course, we would like his first edition books, we would have more than one set. And these things have to be preserved in such a way that they don't get destroyed further than the condition what we receive them. Whether it is a robe or it is a hat or a paper or a letter or anything. So preservation is the first idea. And of course, we will keep a place open. The idea is to also have a little place available for the researchers there who can refer to the old first edition books, his old articles which used to come. We are not going to put on display the manuscripts, especially because the paper is wearing off, it has become very weak. So those we intend to keep it very safely in that place without exhibiting them. Yes, copies of those would be available there for on the screens and in the digital format for reference. We are not trying to create a museum or any other place of worship. We are very clear that Osho wanted neither.
And I think, yes, today it's possible to make those manuscripts and letters available digitally, which is a great way at the same time preserving the original one in a way that will not be destroyed.
That's right. And we have also posted a lot of these manuscripts on sanyas.wiki there. We have digitized a lot of them and they are already available to have a look into sanyas.wiki.
Yes, and we had an interview with, forgot his name, Sugit.
Okay, lovely, okay.
And we spoke about Sanyas Wiki, and it's an incredible work he's doing together with Rudra and the other people who are supporting that.
Yes.
So much work, it's incredible.
Yes, we have more than 50,000 pages now in Wiki.
That's super amazing. I've always wanted to access the original lectures of Osho when he was a professor at university. You know, those lectures, I guess, are perhaps less on the, you know, like the proper philosophy. When he was working as a philosophy teacher, he must have had a record. Maybe at the university in Jabalpur, they have something. Because I studied philosophy and I would really love to listen or read one of the lectures of Osho whilst he was a professor at uni.
I'm not sure whether we have access, we have any of those. But yes, there are certain written texts available right now, which I know of. When he was a professor, he would write on the magazines. But they are all in Hindi. Somebody needs to work on that for translating all the old talks of Osho, which are all in Hindi.
That's a good stimulus to learn Hindi, just to translate and understand Osho in his original language. But it's a little bit of a task, eh?
Yes, it is a bit of a task. But all those who know Hindi, those were really mesmerizing talks. And initially, he was very fiery. His talks were very fiery also.
When you say fiery, you mean the tone or the content?
Both. The tone as well as the content were quite, you know, revolutionary.
Okay, so talking a little bit about Osho and your life today, how would you describe Osho's impact in your life? How Osho changed your life?
I am still on the curve of changing and evolving every day more and more. Yes, I have been into corporate world throughout my life, and it definitely puts you, being a Osho sannyasin, it is a fun as well as a challenge also to, you know, be a sannyasin in this corporate world. To carry out his vision and surrounded by all other people, those who are, you know, politically motivated or have their own things to play, if you are focused, if you are centered, it brings you a good human being. But at the same time, in your working space, it does not lead you to the positions, but you become a, you know where, what you are doing. It realizes, you realize, you know, that whatever is happening, you can watch it. You can see what is happening, and it brings you a really good feeling when you see everything which is going on as a witness. So I started to enjoy these experiences and the game.
Wow. I mean, this is very beautiful to hear. I mean, for me personally, it's, as you said, it's been a real big challenge to be a sannyasin, to be myself, to be on the path of trying to be more aware and more conscious, at the same time deal with an environment which is going in the opposite direction.
I have also been facing this hurdle, but at the same time, something between you, in you, keeps reminding you. And that grows more and more, more and more. And one starts to enjoy that kind of a space.
I think it's very hard to get where you are at. You know, like for me, it's been the biggest challenge to compromise between me as a sannyasin and the corporate world. I found it extremely difficult.
It takes time. It's difficult, but it comes. At least for me, I can say that.
Well, for me, hopefully that's gone now because I left the corporate world. So,
yes, that's the easiest thing.
In a way, yes. Let's see. Okay, so in terms of Osho and the way he's received today, especially in India, during the time whilst he was in the body, we all know that he was ostracized. Everyone was against him. But I think now things have changed quite a lot. So can you give us a sense of the changes that have happened since Osho left the body?
See, I remember when I took sannyas, I was in my first year of post-graduation, and I was the only person going to the university with the mala on. And there was hardly anybody who would not turn their heads and see and make a comment also, or talk, you know, about who is this guy or what is he. And it wasn't, you know, people wouldn't talk about Osho into societies or amongst them, you know. It wasn't considered like a taboo. But now I see gradually things are changing, and they are changing fast. People have started to accept. You know, I would remember Osho saying that after 100 years of his leaving the body, things will be very different, as I understand. But we see things changing even now during my living tenure. You know, like the last December, we saw that the government of Madhya Pradesh, Jabalpur, organized an event to celebrate Osho's birthday. You know, the government coming forward, sponsoring the event, you know, hosting so many people. This itself was a remarkable change and a new bold step what we have seen in front of our life. Things are changing. Osho is being discussed amongst the learned, amongst people. It's no more a name. Mostly it's no more associated with taboo or any other, you know, thing which used to be during the earlier days. Of course, it's not completely over. There is a segment of people, those who would still consider that. But yes, we see a drastic change happening and people accepting him.
And that's amazing. And I think what is a little bit upsetting is that in the West, in the Western world, I don't see this happening to the same pace that is happening in India. And that's quite paradoxical. Osho's influence is huge, and many people have learned from Osho. But if you talk openly about Osho, there is still a sort of taboo, or somehow Osho's work is not openly recognized, is implicitly recognized. Everyone is reading Osho, have learn either from Osho or from some of the sannyasins of Osho, who are leaders in many fields. Mm-hmm. But then you don't openly talk about Osho, because then there are still these labels, you know, the sex guru, the cult leader. I mean, there is this. In the West, Osho is not fully acknowledged in the way that is happening in India.
Yeah, India is definitely, we see a definite change here. It is not very at the masses, but yes, people at the intellectual level, at the student level, at the youngster level, it is. And even if you see all the Osho centers, you will see most of the youngsters going in there. There is a definite change here.
Oh, that's amazing. It's great. So Osho is flourishing in India. I love that. Okay, so Anuragi, we are heading towards the end, and I have three final questions for you. The first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
It is never the same every day, but usually it could come with a cup of tea and a fine cup of tea. It could follow with a set of exercise or some weight training. Of course, a common factor is a music every day. And occasionally, if there is, the body is not wanting to exercise, I go for a walk. And sometimes sleep across also, if it really doesn't want to get up. So sleep and sleep a little bit more.
Okay, I like that, actually. Okay, so the second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
Okay, I am doing Nad Brahma since quite some time now, and I really love that. And it is because, it could be because I have a deep Tibetan connect, and humming and those bells draw me very near to the source.
Okay, yes, Nada Brahma is absolutely fantastic. It's a wonderful technique. The last question is, You lead the Osho experiment. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today in 2020?
See, my heart is full of gratitude. There is so much he has given. If it did not happen, we would have gone just like a common man, you know, surviving day to day, having those dreams, working, earning more and more, and firefighting. Here at now, we see all these things as a fun. You can sit, watch these things happening, be a participant, but from a distance. This is a wonderful experience personally, which I learned from being with the master.
Okay, Nuragi. Well, look, thank you so much for taking the time for being part of this interview and the Love Osho podcast. It's been a real pleasure connecting with you, and your project is very valuable. It's very important. I fully support it. If there is anything I can do personally, let me know. We can take this offline, and I invite anyone listening to support if they feel like, and if they want to know more, they can get in touch with you.
Yes, I am not part of any social media. I can be reached on my email, which is anuragi.sw@gmail.com.
Okay, and I'll link your email in the show notes, so anyone interested they can find you there.
Thank you so much, Swaram. It was absolutely a delight talking to you this afternoon, and thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend. Lots of love and a big hug.
Big love and big hug to you.
Bye now.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.